Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Senator Scott, you recently reacted by praising Ronald Reagan for firing air traffic controllers in the 1980s, saying, "You strike, you're fired." Would you fire thousands of striking auto workers today?
I'll say this, Joe Biden should not be on the picket line. He should be on the southern border working to close our southern border because it is unsafe, wide open, and insecure, leading to the deaths of 70,000 Americans in the last 12 months because of fentanyl.
So I understand that hardship is not a choice. But victimhood is a choice, and we choose to be victorious in the United States of America. You know what? If I was giving advice to those workers, I would say go picket in front of the White House in Washington, D.C. That's really where the protest needs to be. Disastrous economic policies that have driven up prices, that have driven up interest rates and mortgage rates, at the same time wages remaining stagnant.
You know how you show up to a debate and people have brought their pithiest one-liner? Right, they brought their best jab.
Yes,
you know, and the opening jabs about the picket line. Tim Scott, you know, he should be at the workers' line. He should be at the southern border, and Vivek Ramaswamy, and you know, just trying to you know, let everybody know that they were at home doing their research, right, and they were making sure that they had their best shot ready in case this came up. And then somebody let Mike Pence speak.
Look, I do disagree with something Tim Scott just said. Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line.
My favorite part was the...
Is this where I insert my funny line they told me to say?
Look, I do disagree with something Tim Scott just said. Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line.
Oh, man. And, you know, if that were the only one that Mike Pence had last night, you might just say, well, that guy's not funny. And he's not, but nobody is surprised that he's not funny. What we were surprised by was the conversation that we had over, well, let me just give it to you the way it unfolded, okay? They were talking about education, Chris Christie.
But let's tell the truth to everybody about what this is. This public school system is no longer run by the public. It is run by the teachers' unions in this country. Randy Weingarten and her crew are absolutely strangling. They are taking the worst of their members and defending them rather than advocating for our kids. And when you have the President of the United States sleeping with a member of the teachers' union, there is no chance that you could take the stranglehold away from the teachers' union every day.
What in the actual... What?
Mrs. Biden's part of the
teachers' union? Yeah, well, she's a teacher. Yeah, she teaches.
Right? No.
Jill Biden's a teacher.
That's still a awful way to say it.
The president is sleeping with a member of the teachers' union? That's your line? That's where you go with this?
That's a good line.
Good Lord, that's off limits. Just it's a bizarre thing to say. But not to be outdone, Mike Pence made it worse.
But I want to answer the question as well, Dana, that you just asked Doug Burr. Because by way of full disclosure, Chris, you mentioned the president's situation. My wife isn't a member of the teachers' union, but I got to admit, I've been sleeping with a teacher for 38 years. And so full disclosure.
Full disclosure. Did I mention full disclosure?
What? I'd say, okay, so let me give Mike Pence just a little bit of cover. This was not a prescripted line. and it showed. Like, you couldn't deliver a zinger worse and more awkwardly. In fact, it was kind of funny because the Fox Business hosts, well, they were Fox News folks, who were doing the coverage at the time, and after that segment was over, they had a name for the segment. It was the Hot for Teacher segment. And yeah, that was super weird. So you've never just, you know how you get in your head like, I'm fixing to make a joke. I'm not sure I should make this joke. I'm fixing to make it. I'm not sure how to get to this joke. Boy, I kind of want to apologize in advance, but here goes. I'm going to be edgy. I'm going to show that I'm not just Mike Pence, stiffer than stiff white guy.
But I want to answer the question as well, Dana, that you just asked Doug Burgum. Because by way of full disclosure, Chris, you mentioned the president's situation.
Full disclosure.
My wife
careful now.
Isn't a member of the teachers union, but I got to admit,
Where's this going?
I've been sleeping with a teacher for 38 years. And so full disclosure.
And the laughter you didn't hear is the laughter that didn't happen. 5:15 on News Radio 92.3. So they get down to the end of the debate. And by the way, this was the only person who won yesterday was anybody who wasn't on this stage. This is the only... Biden does good by comparison with this catastrophe. This is, you know, somebody texted me and said, have they been learning from the Milton City Council meetings? It was so dysfunctional. It was so bad. It was just...
You can't be on both sides.
Gentlemen, you'll have your turn.
One of the challenges...
We should have a debate between Vivek and the business in China. Everybody knows that.
Let's focus on holding Joe Biden accountable.
That's what we need to be focusing
on. I actually agree with Ron DeSantis.
If I speak at the same time, no one can understand your message.
Exactly. So if I may.
No one can understand what y'all are keeping talking about because this was Fox Business, but it did seem like the ABC product, The View. Like The View primetime with politicians. It was over and over and over again. And in the crosstalk segments, the only person who really had at least a little bit of positive showing for it was DeSantis, because he was the one he has the right kind of voice you can hear it out of the gaggle. The second is that he would be the one saying, you know, this is not productive, this is not helpful. And somehow or other, a couple of times this happened, he sort of leads the group out of the crosstalking.
We're sitting here in the Reagan Library.
Yes, I wish you would not.
In honor of Ronald Reagan's library, if I may, one admirer of Reagan to another, we cannot
do deals with the
violate
4 years ago.
This is unproductive.
I want to hear about that.
Let's have a policy debate.
What's going on?
Let us have a policy debate.
Let's have about their record.
Let's have a policy debate. And the right answer is we need to declare independence.
Thank you very much.
And I will see that through.
It's just like, oh, my God. I've never been so embarrassed for my own party. It's just terrible. Now, the one thing that might happen is maybe this starts to clear some of the chaff off the stage a little bit. Maybe. Because that was actually the question that they asked at the very end. And by the way, the questions were just kind of all over the place. There was no control of the debate. There was no structure to the debate. It was just, and they would, it, the problem of having seven people on the stage is you either give everybody a chance to answer every topic, which is typically how I do it when I'm managing a debate, but you do it differently. You know, you give them 40 seconds, you make it quick. It can be done properly. But anyway, you do that. Or you do what they did, which is, you know, ask a question, let one or two people answer, switch a question, switch a person, and just go for as much, you know, splatter as you can get. And it was. I mean, it was a mess from the organizational perspective, from the moderating perspective, from the participants' perspective. It was a mess. They get down to the very end, and they think they're going to solve this with a gimmick. And this is one of those things, like, they're having their production meeting a week or two ago, and like, all right, how are we going to end this debate? To their credit, they didn't end with give us summary statements. Good job. Summary statements are useless, and they waste a lot of broadcast time. But what they did come up with instead was, this really backfired on them.
It's now obvious that if you all stay in the race, former President Donald Trump wins the nomination.
That's right.
None of you have indicated that you're dropping out.
Also so right.
Which one of you on stage tonight should be voted off the island. Please use your marker to write your choice on the notepad in front of you. 15 seconds starting now. Of the people on the stage.
So it's going to be like the dating game. You know, you're going to like, or the, is the dating game the one where they, yeah, where they held up the little thing, you know, that had the answers? Newlywed game? I can't remember. Maybe the newlywed game.
Newlywed game.
Dating game was where they had the three people on one side and one on the other, right? So the newlywed game where they would, you know, write their answer down on the thing and then hold it up. And that's what they were.
Survivor, though.
Yeah, right. It's, well, Survivor slash, you know, newlywed game, trying to, you know, who do you want to get rid of, right?
Who should be, I'm absolutely serious.
With all due respect, I mean, we're here, like, you know, we're happy to debate, but I think that that's disrespectful to my fellow competitors.
Nobody wants to, nobody wants to participate.
Let's do some questions. Let's talk about the future of the country.
So our man DeSantis says, y'all are idiots. We're not doing this. It's disrespectful to everybody who's up here. And by the way, the main thing is the person who's not here, right? The former president. But, you know, so she says, all right, fine. You objected to my question. I will ask you a pointed question, Mr. Ronnie D.
What is your mathematical path?
Yes.
Governor DeSantis. In order to try to beat President Trump, who has a commanding and enduring lead in this race.
So, polls don't elect presidents. Voters elect presidents.
Right.
And we're going to take the case of the people in these early states. We're going to do it in a state-by-state direction. And why? Because as Reagan said in his day, this is our time for choosing.
It's a good answer. Polls don't elect presidents. Voters elect presidents. And it's not all at once, and it's not everywhere in the country. It's Iowa, New Hampshire, right? It's one place at a time, and you win that battle, or you do well enough in that battle to be into the next battle. And so the notion that as we are sitting now, what, 14 months out from the election, 13 and a half months out from the election, that the polling of a nationwide, which is not how presidents get selected from the primaries, nor is it how presidents get elected in the general election. It's not based on the whole country. It's based on a couple of key places, right? And there's a process, and that's the right answer. When you're way behind the leader at this point, that's exactly the right answer. Nevertheless, Chris Christie took the opportunity to make hay while the sun was shining on the, you know, vote him off the island question.
Governor Christie, I believe I did see you write something on the card.
No, but I'll certainly tell you.
Go.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, I think I've been the only one on this stage who's been clear about this. I vote Donald Trump off the island right now. And the reason I vote him off the island, every person on this stage has shown the respect for Republican voters to come here to express their views honestly, candidly, and directly, and to take your questions honestly. I have respect for every man and woman on this stage because they've done it. Vivek, put your hand down for a second, would you? I still got time, dude. So chill out.
Oh, that's also a brutal put down of Vivek Ramaswamy, who's like the eager kid in the front of the class. Pick me, Mr. Kater. I got a comment, Mr. Kater. Let me talk. So that was good, and he's right. Trump is disrespecting this process by not showing up, and he does owe answers for his policy choices, policy failures. He can brag about his success, but his opponents will bring up the failures. And certainly, on this debate, you know that his absolute deliberate. His answers on abortion in the Kristen Welker interview would be primetime featured last night. But he doesn't answer these questions because he's not there, because he's busy, you know, making show for with the union folks. So, you know, Christie did turn it in the right direction. That was the right answer to the question if there was an answer to this really silly ending question. So who won last night? Biden. Because the Republicans look like fools. I mean, they even the ones who didn't really participate in the shenanigans look like fools. A lot more aggressive. You had people who were desperate to stay on the stage. Clearly, somebody told Tim Scott, bro, you got to fight. And he did. And somebody told Nikki Haley, girl, you got to fight. And she did. And somebody told Doug Burgum, you got to try to get them to let you have talking time. And he tried. So who do I think leaves? Mike Pence needs to go. I have always been a supporter and fan of Mike Pence, but he is clearly unelectable, either as the Republican candidate or as the general election candidate. He needs to go. Personally, I think that Tim Scott needs to go. He hasn't shown that he's able to really perform in this environment. That would cut it down to five, which would be manageable. And the remainder of the five are really all semi-viable. I think Vivek Ramaswamy is not viable, but he's popular and he's interesting. If you get it down to four or five, this thing becomes manageable and we can actually have interesting conversations. Chris Christie is the I'm anti-Trump until I die. Nikki Haley is the moderate with a lot of experience. Ron DeSantis is the, you know, conservative with a fair bit of experience and certainly a lot of track record to run on in Florida. And then, you know, like I said, Vivek is there. And I think Doug Burgum is shown to be an interesting competitor on the debate stage, and he knows a lot. You know, he might be the governor from the state you barely know exists in the union, North Dakota, but still, he shows well. So, you know, I kind of want to give him a chance because he's doing well when he's able to. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. They have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters.
For matters in Tennessee, visit CordellCordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. On at 4 right after Guy Benson. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I believe in the Church of Baseball. I've tried all the major religions and most of the minor ones. And the only church that truly feeds the soul day in, day out is the Church of Baseball.
You know how when like actresses or actors take political positions and render themselves obnoxious to you because you hold the opposite position, which basically means that Hollywood makes it so conservatives can't watch their movies? That's kind of the general tone. And look, Susan Sarandon has made it so it's hard for me to enjoy, sadly, a lot of her movies, but I can still enjoy Bull Durham because the character is fantastic and the movie is fantastic. 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Don't think, meet, just throw. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. And Chris Christie apparently had some strong words there at the debate for former President Donald Trump. But Trump hit back on Truth Social not long after. He put up a post that Christie only had a 9% approval rating as governor in New Jersey. That was his post last night. And he said the state wanted to, quote, throw the bum out.
Can I object on principle?
Absolutely.
If you don't show up to the debate, we're not going to broadcast your tweets or your Truth Social. I mean, seriously, you don't get to answer from the grave.
Right.
You know, you don't get to play from the sidelines with researchers and writers who can produce your... Anyway, just my objection. Go ahead.
Absolutely. You are welcome to object to any and everything I say, Andrew.
No. Go ahead.
House Republicans are holding their first hearing in the impeachment investigation for President Biden today. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer from Kentucky claims that he has evidence Biden abused public office as vice president. That hearing's going to start at 10 o'clock Eastern today, so we'll see what happens there. And the writer's strike ended this week, but Hollywood's actors are still on the picket line. They're demanding better pay and more protections. SAG-AFTRA planning to restart their negotiations with Hollywood studios next week. Those talks will be attended by executives from the Actors Union and from the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers as well. So one more step to get our favorite shows back here in hopefully the next year.
You know, what I didn't understand is, I understand where we're at with the strike. I understand why things haven't been made. But one of the shows that we like to watch is the new Magnum PI. And I saw an ad for it coming back on Wednesday, next Wednesday. And I'm like, wait, what? Unless they had them in the can before the strike started. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how anything is getting made.
Like, scripted. Bill Maher's on Friday, this coming Friday.
Yeah, but Bill Maher probably writes his own stuff.
No. I don't think so.
No? Okay.
Whatever. But I mean, but all of the talk shows. So I'm in my head.
Well, yeah,
yes,
and the talk shows are back,
stuff,
right?
Yeah, so.
So I don't understand.
Maybe they do show prep like you do, and they just have a ton.
They just had so much material already. Okay, all right, fair enough. Yeah. So I'm kind of curious to see in and amongst all of the sports and the competition / reality shows, how much scripted TV we get in the abbreviated season that is about to start. So. Anyway, I'm just curious. I don't know the answer to this. Pensacola Seafood Festival starts this Friday through Sunday. All kinds of good stuff there. And then a week from Friday is Taste of Gulf Breeze. So, man, we're into eating season now here in Pensacola. It's the good times.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster.
Honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say.
Nikki Haley to Vivek Ramaswamy there during the second Republican presidential primary debate last night in California, co-hosted by Fox Business. One of several shots taken at by the candidates at each other, the president and the former president, who again did not show up.
Where's Joe Biden? He's completely missing in action from leadership. And you know who else is missing in action? Donald Trump is missing in action.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Travis King, the Army private who ran across the border into North Korea in July, is back in the U.S. now, arriving in San Antonio, Texas, on a military flight overnight.
He's expected to be taken to an Army medical center to undergo evaluation, then a process of reintegration. Administration officials say any possible disciplinary action will only be considered once that process is complete.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3, 72 right now, partly cloudy in Pensacola. Milton City leaders have signed off on their millage rate and final budget for the next fiscal year. The millage rate was set at 2.99 mils, which was more than the rolled back rate of 2.7095 mils by more than 10%. And as for their budget,
$46,028,238. It looks like voting is in progress. On the motion by Councilman Snow and the second by Councilman Jarrett, it's unanimously approved. Thank you very much.
The $46 million spending plan includes more than $5.6 million for public safety, $4.6 million for general government expenses, nearly $17 million for natural gas, water, sewer, and sanitation. A 41-year-old motorcycle rider was killed in a crash on Gulf Beach Highway yesterday. Now, that happened at the intersection with Plateau Road. Florida Highway Patrol says the rider was headed west on Gulf Beach Highway when an 81-year-old woman driving a pickup truck didn't yield to traffic when pulling out to make a left turn. The rider hit the driver's door of that truck. He was pronounced dead at the scene of that crash. The ribbon was cut for a new medical office over in Santa Rosa County yesterday. HCA Florida West's new primary care office on Avalon Boulevard officially opened its doors. They'll be providing annual checkups and care for chronic conditions in both adults and kids there. Well, after rolling out as a pilot program last year, the Escambia School District now offering anger management classes to students. It's the goal is for it to be an alternative to out-of-school suspensions.
When they're not in the classroom, they're not getting the instruction that they need. And so we've also found out, statistically, it tells us that students, when they're not at school, they're out on the streets, they're not necessarily at home.
That is Student Engagement Coordinator Jeremy Tompkins. He tells Channel 3 parents have to sign off before their students can participate in this anger management class. It's a four-week program. Middle school students have the courses before school. High schoolers would take it after school. Some changes coming for ECUA customers here in the next week.
In all the years prior, the recycling service was an opt-in. If you'd like to recycle, we'll give you a can to recycle, but your basic service only comes with a single can. However, starting October 1st, that business model changes a little bit.
ECUA Executive Director Bruce Woody, he says you can now request a second trash can instead of a recycling can for your second can. These changes come as ECUA says a lot of customers haven't properly been using the recycling can. It's costing them extra money to keep the recycling operations running. If you've got a both a recycling can and an extra garbage can, Woody also says customers that don't want the recycling can can give that up, lower their bill by a little bit. It is 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Thursday morning, it is a cloudy and soggy start for some. Rain chance sits at about 30% today, especially if you were south of Interstate 10. For the rest of us, it's just going to be a cloudy day with highs in the mid-80s. Now, as we head into Friday and the weekend, some good news. We do have sunnier conditions moving in, so it should be a little bit drier. And because of that, we'll see highs get back into the upper 80s to even lower 90s starting Saturday. That's your weather forecast for now. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer here at WEAR News.
And right now, 72 in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Quiggins. If you've got fall gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Presented by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, Barnes Feed Store, and Lucky's Pine Straw.
Pregnancy can be an exciting time, but for many moms, it can mean feeling anxious, depressed, confused, or overwhelmed. Either during pregnancy or after having your baby, you may not quite feel like yourself. If you're experiencing these feelings, you are not alone, and mental health issues can be treated. Talk with your OB or connect with a mental health provider in your area by visiting flbhimpact.org. This message is supported by the Health Resources and Services Administration, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
As you'll notice, if you wake up in the morning and your recycling can has disappeared, that is intentional. This is the week we are picking up those recycling cans, so you don't have to worry. We won't come looking for it or put anything on your bill. But of course, starting out next week is when you'll start to have the twice-a-week garbage pickup.
There you go, Mr. Mayor D.C. Reeves, talking about the new changes in the recycling and what that all means. We talked to him yesterday about a bunch of things. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Why are you stealing people's recycling cans?
Yeah, I realized during a town hall last night, which was great. We had a great turnout, Bayview, for Casey Jones' town hall. And there's this very interesting parallel with two things that we're going to talk about, recycling and Bay Bluffs, that as I told the folks in there, you know, maybe you don't like these ideas or maybe you have, you know, anxiety about those. I understand that. But the easiest thing for the mayor to do in both of these cases is nothing. That's the easy thing to do on both of these fronts. So, you know, maybe you agree, maybe you don't agree, but I'm doing these things because I believe that they're the best decisions for the city, even when they're hard. And they're certainly hard politically. So from a political standpoint, if you think I'm only going to do the thing that's the most positive politically, this should be case in point proof that I'm willing to take on things that aren't very popular only because I think it's the right thing for the city.
I appreciate that. I actually had somebody text me and say, well, how do you know that the Bay Bluffs park structure isn't being demolished for political reasons? And was it an outside agency that did this structural survey? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that based on the political heat DC's getting over this, that he's not doing it for anything other than the stated reasons, and he wishes he didn't have to. So, yeah. But, yeah, you're picking up, going to, no recycling for a little while. But you guys say that in 30 days you're going to try to set up a drop zone, basically, where you can bring it once a week or something. We're going to staff it so people can bring in just bare-bones recyclables, right? Steel and aluminum cans, high-density plastic, and 2 liters, basically, right?
Exactly. And because we want to set the tone that of whatever, even though this is going to be just a very short term approach, we may keep it longer, but this is not the be all end all of our alternate to recycling. But what we want to do is let's start getting in the habits that and break away from the habits that got us here. And what I mean is, as I explained in the press conference, there's a big, big difference between recyclable, meaning it can literally by definition be recycled, and folks that are items that actually have a market, they are purchased and not put in a landfill. And so I think we need to start now in delineating what those are. And you mentioned of aluminum and steel cans, like canned goods, plastic bottles. It could be 20-ounce, 2-liter kind of, Coke bottles when you think about that. And then, of course, the heavier plastic, like the detergents, the milk jugs, the things like that. So we didn't even want to open the one day a week without having clear definition about what the kind of the overall future of what we take is, regardless of where we go from here. And because I don't want to yet again have mixed messages about, what we're going to do. So, but that's our hope by November 1st. We were working through that yesterday, that you'll be able to go to Leonard Street there where our transfer station behind Pensacola High School. And every Wednesday, you'll be able to drop off those items. And, of course, we'll be advertising it
more. Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Let's talk about that other one, the Bay Bluffs Park. You and I have talked about this quite a bit last week as well, but look, you're talking about demolition. Do you have a time frame in mind for the removal of the structure?
No, and actually, I was talking with some folks after the town hall and said the same thing. I mean, it's going to take a little bit, like any procedure like this at the city government level, that it's going to have to be RFP'd. It's going to have to be, it's going to take a little bit of time. Hence the reason we're philosophically moving on it now, because that's not going to happen tomorrow. It's going to have to get done. And it's frankly where we're exposed is, I know you mentioned, believe it or not, one little metal gate that says park closed is working. I know that's hard to believe,
right.
But, it's just not working. People are jumping over it now, even less, cops not going to walk down there cause it's closed. It exposes us so much more. And again, when I am told by not just an independent engineer, but our own engineer, our public works leader, Amy Tootle, is also an engineer. When we have two opinions that say it's unsafe, what other option do I have? I mean, if this is your child or your brother or your sister that goes down here, and I've been told by engineers that it's unsafe for people to go on, how can I live with myself and say, yeah, don't worry about it. You know what? Let's just keep it open because politically it's easier to do.
Let me play the sort of citizen advocate on this one more time.
Sure.
Okay. So we have a Gulf of Mexico, which has dangerous beasties. And people drown in the Gulf of Mexico all the time. We don't close the Gulf because it's dangerous. We just tell people, be careful. And we do post guards, to try to keep people safe as much as possible. But we know we can't guard everybody, and there's going to be problems that are going to happen. People clearly want to use this thing despite your best warnings from the engineers that it's not safe for them. My own reaction when I heard there was a gate up was, I kind of want to go down and walk it one last time before it's gone. And I'm like, I'll take my kids because it's fine. Why can't you just say, the structure's not sound, it's not safe, proceed at your own risk until we demolish it or until whatever? Why can't we take that approach as a city?
All right, well, two things. One, the Gulf of Mexico analogy would be the equivalent of the bus itself just along Scenic Highway, you going down there. We don't mandate what you can and can't do going down some either private property or whatever that's not. We are inviting, when there's a park that the city owns, we are inviting you generally to come there, right? It's an open park, and that's what makes that a little different. And second, look, I am happy to, if there's a nonprofit organization that wants to indemnify the city and keep this thing open and say, hey, at your own risk. We will take the risk. We've got some track record of some kind of operation. They want to temporarily do this while we go find funding. Just to show you, I'm more than open to trying to find an amicable solution. I'm happy to do that. I have a feeling we're not going to get a lot of takers that want to take on the risk of that. If there was some viable solution of which to keep it open that doesn't expose the taxpayer to significant liability, it's now pretty well documented that it's not safe to open, then I would entertain any option in that front. But there's just not an option for us at the city to continue to say, welcome to our park in any way. I mean, at your own risk. I mean, there's a sign for that at every park right now that's right. Open and functioning. So, if it was just that easy and someone fell through something that we knew was broken, that's not how the legal system's going to work, in our opinion. So we had this. So that's where we're at with it.
The parking lot is closed. The parking lot is closed too, right? The parking lot is closed off to deter people from parking in a place where they're not supposed to be.
Well, it's a double-edged sword there. I heard you say that earlier, and that is accurate. It's so people don't park there. But it's also, secondarily, the weird location of that when they built that side, that parking lot was that you could skip the light at Summit. So we're seeing that a lot.
Where
people are coming up northbound. And then
they're driving around the light through the parking lot? I guess that's true. So, I guess you could, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. So it's really a double-edged, really a twofold reason, I guess.
Okay. All right. We're talking. I'd never thought of that because there's always cars in there, and it seems like that would. But I can see if it stopped, that's like cutting through the gas station to get around the red light. I can see why people would do that against the law. All right. Just a quick note. I had meant to ask you this before, and I forgot. The shot spotter that the Escambia County Sheriff's Office is putting in, they've announced their zone for doing it. Have you guys figured out a place you're doing it? I assume you have.
Yeah, we have a more contiguous. I know they have a couple different sections they were looking at. Ours is ultimately going to run on the east side from kind of the Tarragona, maybe even a little further east, all the way basically through Pace Boulevard. And think about the north side of Cervantes, kind of that rectangle there.
Okay.
Pace to the west, Tarragona to the east, Cervantes to the north will be our 3 square miles there. And we continue to update as we continue to work on where we're going to put those sensors. Some are going to be on our utilities. I actually just had a phone call with FPL this week to talk through some places we want to attempt to put them there. There's some complication to that, but they're working with us to find the best options that they may have or their partners may have in and around there. So working on that installation, our hope is sometime in late fall, November, December area, which is what we hope to have it online by.
Very good. And last thing, and I know we just don't have enough time to really get into this, but I spent quite a bit of time in the first part of this hour sharing the perspective from your arborist, who I thought was very frustrated about the challenge of the tree need in poor neighborhoods versus the tree need in nicer neighborhoods. And what you have is volunteers and neighborhood associations who are willing to do the work and put in the trees and defray the cost. And so they basically get about a 10-to-1 multiplier for the number of trees in the ground taken care of over time in nicer parts of town versus in, poorer parts of the whatever reasons there are a bunch of them. And so for the short, more bang for the buck, funding the neighborhood associations to do a lot of this work instead of the city putting their own money in. I thought this was a fascinating and very transparent conversation about just making there be more trees. Am I understanding it properly? And is this kind of how the at least next level of funding is going to go, probably more to the neighborhood associations, to those rather than to the tree deserty kind of areas?
The brunt of our dollars, and we're excited about that $1 million grant we got for the urban forestry grant, which ultimately is $700,000 is going to be for tree planting in underserved parts of our community. And to give perspective, our entire tree planting trust fund is somewhere in the $250,000 range.
Right.
So that's what the city has to plant trees. We just added another $700,000. So that's going to be an awesome injection into that. Now,
right.
The one delineation I'd make that we discussed was that was one $5,500 proposal that came through the Neighborhoods Association. And the reason that the dollars are more efficient is that we aren't going to be required, we, the city, are not going to be required to water them. And one of the things I did when we came in is we actually identified what it costs to plant a tree. We just kind of used to have kind of a throw up number there. We just put it on the board and said $500. No, we wanted to add labor and time. What does it actually
cost
the city to plant a tree? So, and it's about $1,600, it turns out. So you heard our arborist, Chris, talk about that, is to say, hey, when we're responsible for it, it's going to be about $1,600. But if a neighborhood is going to buy a tree for $100 and they're going to put it in their own yard, and we just hope that it's self-policing and the fact that they want the tree in their front yard to not die, then they're going to water it and they're going to take care of it. Well, then that's a much more efficient way to handle those dollars. So I think really in the end, what we talked about there is, hey, for $5,500 for us to get hundreds of trees out of that, and even if the efficiency is 70-75%, that's still going to be a great net positive to our tree canopy as a city. But we've got to be more meticulous and more frankly, significantly more funding to solve the greater issue that our country sees, which is when you live in a poorer part of a city anywhere in the United States, the sidewalk's 10 to 15 degrees warmer. And right. These are people that also don't have access to a vehicle and are walking and are biking to work. And really, probably, frankly, need it less aesthetically and more for human quality of life.
Right, right.
And so that's what we're really excited about.
Very good. We always like to end with, and that don't make sense for help me understand that. We always like to end with the lightning round. So these are the easier questions to some people's mind. First question: string cheese. Do you pull the strings and eat them that way, or do you get a hot dog?
I mean, you have to do the first thing, right? Is it legal to?
Well, candy is a lawbreaker, and like that was thrown alone on that. Good for you. I'm glad you're a civilized human. Name, yeah, if you can. Candy's calling me a jerk. A creepy movie scene that really messed with your head, maybe for a time. Maybe you saw it as a kid, but what was that scene in a movie where, like, it was too real for you?
Ooh, you know what? I have too much stuff in my life to watch scary movies, you know, as it is. I don't need any more when I'm sitting on my couch. But I don't know. You know, the Blair Witch Project affected me.
Oh, a little bit. Interesting.
It's not so much a scene. I mean, it was just so real at the time.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that.
That dates me. But yeah, it's not so much that one. Maybe the scene at the end.
And now every time they shake a camera, you get triggered by that. I can see how that
exactly
would work. Last thing is, okay, on your bed, you know, in your home, do you have one single large duvet, comforter, whatever you want to call it, or do you guys have, like, the split? Each of you have your own one so that you can scrunch and move and wiggle without having to affect the other person?
Just the one. Just the one. Okay. But we also have a 60-pound dog, so there's no wiggling, there's no, you know, there's...
That's the comforter weight, like
whatever
a paperweight.
You stake when you go to bed is the territory you get. Wake up in the
morning. Hey, follow up question: what kind of dog is it, and what's its name?
Bernedoodle, and his name's Leonard. So he's about to be two in November. Yeah,
oh, nice. Thank you so much.
He's the smartest dog, or the dumbest smart dog.
Either way, I think we all can relate. That's perfect.
Leonard Reeves.
There you go. DC, thank you so much for the time, Mayor of City of Pensacola, DC Reeves. Always good to talk to you. We look forward to the City Council meeting tomorrow night, and then our conversation next week, sir. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
And, of course, that would be tonight, since that interview we did yesterday. And, by the way, sorry about all the clicking and popping in that interview. We're aware of the problem. We're not sure where it came from. And kind of once we'd started the interview, we couldn't really stop it. So that's we're aware. It's not your imagination, but it is on our side. So sorry about that. 437-1620, 437-1620. That is our phone number. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, you just want somebody you can kind of talk with and get advice from and find out, you know, what is a realistic expectation for selling your home? Or, you know, what can you really buy for the amount of money that you can qualify for these days with interest rates being what they are? And what is the market doing? Like, is now the time to buy? Is now the time to wait it out? Is now the time to, you know, act, sell, whatever the case may be? Well, this is all the stuff that you don't want to ask me. You want to ask Christina Leavenworth because she's fabulous at this. She knows her stuff. She sold 230 homes last year. 230 homes last year. That's almost five a week. That's just crazy and unbelievable effective. And so, you know, just talk to her and find out what she thinks because she's the expert, not me. And she just loves to talk to people. Meet her, find out she's great, and then, you know, make your decision based on good, reliable information. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
It's not too late. Enroll today for fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. That's right, loan-free. PSC offers more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that works best for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for fall classes today at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there. Pensacola State College.
Join Sonia with Chill Out Cryo Spa today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Sonia will be taking your calls and discussing how you can achieve your body goals with body sculpting or pain reduction sessions at Chill Out Cryo Spa. You want to look and feel your best. Find out how today at 10:30 with Chill Out Cryo Spa and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Jaclyn Harris Preparatory Academy presents The Many Faces of Tina Turner on Friday, September 29th. Sue Strawn will host an evening of electrifying music, fun, and dancing by Dance Connection. Master storyteller Robin Richard will share the story of the most amazing recording artist ever, Tina Turner. This is a fundraiser event for Favor House, so join them for a fun evening. Tickets are $55 and can be purchased at eventbrite.com.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Come on, big bucks, no whammies, the whammy ones still wake up!
Stop it all!
My heart's in overdrive. It's great to be alive. Who's Johnny? She said, and smiled in her special way. Johnny, she said, you know I love you. Who's Johnny? She said, and tried to look the other way. I'd give her away.
The answer to the question, which AI robot character in movies didn't try to kill the humans and take over the planet?
Aww.
Johnny Five.
There you go, little Johnny Five.
the only time where the glitchy robot became safer and better for everybody.
Great.
So just, you know, keep that one in your back pocket for bar trivia sometime. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. Speaking of bar trivia, am I right, David? Would that be the correct answer to that question? The bar trivia question of the name a robot or AI in a movie that did not want to wipe out the human race or subdue us, and that'd be Johnny Five from Short Circuit?
My answer would be C.
C.
Multiple choice.
I see.
C. Yeah,
always guess C?
Yeah.
All right, good enough.
Hey, the American soldier released from North Korea this week arrived in Texas last night. U.S. authorities took custody of 23-year-old Private Travis King Wednesday at the China-Korea border. The next step for him now is a medical evaluation at the Brooke Army Medical Center at Joint Base San Antonio, Fort Sam Houston. Well, if you've got a 2010 to 2019 Hyundai Santa Fe or Sorento, an important message, don't keep it in the garage, at least for now. Apparently, 3.4 million vehicles have been recalled due to the risk of a defective brake module starting an electrical fire. Hyundai says the ABS control modules can leak fluid, then that shorts out an electrical wire, can start a fire, can happen while it's in motion, or while it's even parked and doing absolutely nothing. So you can contact whatever dealer for recall repairs on that.
So, question.
Yeah.
Question. The solution to the spontaneously combusting Kias and Hyundais is, well, park them in your driveway. At least then they won't burn your house to the ground, right? I have the story right so far?
So far, yes.
But I seem to remember that there was a concern with a certain pair of car manufacturers that they were so easy to steal that they were getting stolen left and right everywhere you looked. And in fact, people were looking into suing them because they were so easy to steal. It seems like maybe Kia and Hyundai were those brands. Am I right?
I believe they were included in that, yes.
So layer one says park the spontaneously combustible cars in your driveway so that, oh God, they get stolen. But maybe,
it's a problem that solves
stolen.
Itself. Yeah.
It's a problem solving itself. Yeah, like, all right, I see how this is going to work.
Go ahead, Dan.
And there is a marijuana bill advancing in the Senate. The Senate Banking Committee Wednesday approved the Secure and Fair Enforcement Regulation Banking Act that would allow legal marijuana businesses to use banks and financial institutions, which, of course, is currently prohibited.
All right, I'm still thinking about this Kia Hyundai thing. Follow me. Follow me.
Follow it.
How do you prevent Kias and Hyundais from getting stolen? Tell the thieves that they spontaneously combust, and then they'll be afraid to hide them in their own garages.
That true?
Man, how are you not president right now? That's such a great idea.
How am I not president? That's good. That's a good question. Why am I not president? Okay, well, you know, these are imponderables for a later time. Veterans Memorial Park Foundation, a special celebration of service on Veterans Day at First Baptist Church of Pensacola, a performance by Mac McAnally.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio.